Well, good morning, everyone. You know, it's good to hear that you're praying for camps. I was down at Camp Lilloli, Salamanca, New York, for the past week. There was roughly 80 children down there, and by the end of the week, by the time I left, six young lives came to know the Lord as their Savior. So camp work is dear to my heart, and keep praying, because the children need to hear the Word of God. I was asked to maybe just give a little testimony, first of all, about who I am, since very few people likely know me, other than maybe Desmond and Gail. I was born the youngest of six children. My mom was a stay-home mom, and my dad was a mechanic. We didn't have much money. We had six kids in two bedrooms and one bathroom. My mom and dad did have their own bedroom and bathroom, though. We never went to church. My dad read the Bible out loud to us every evening. After dinner was over, he would read the Bible. We were not religious, but it was just something that we did. The 60s, we did things like that. Not today. For many years, I was taught that doing good and being good was enough. And as a young person, I was happy with my life. I didn't need to change. Thought everything was going well, enjoyed my life as a young person growing up. As I said, the Bible was read every evening, sometimes in Dutch, sometimes in English, most of the times in English, because my parents wanted to learn English more. But in those days, as a young person, in one ear and out the other, I realize now that every time that Bible was read to me, unknowingly, I was rejecting Christ. It wasn't until I was 19 that I realized my need of a Savior. I was invited by my now wife to a youth event in a small church in Grassy, Ontario. I don't know if anybody knows where that is, but small little town. On March 1st, 1979, I realized at that moment that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. I realized that Jesus had died for me, for my sins, and I accepted his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. There was no fanfare, no great display. No, I just realized my need, and I followed him. I didn't come out of some testimonies you hear that come out of whatever, alcoholism and all this stuff. I was just a young kid growing up, having a great time. I was good. I didn't get into very much trouble. But at that moment, when I was 19 years of age, I realized that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior. And as I said, no fanfare, no great display. I just realized it and followed him. Now I am married to my lovely wife, Marilyn, and we've been married for 44 years next month. We have three children and seven grandchildren, for which we pray every day for their salvation. There are many stories that I could tell you about how God has directed me in my life over the years, but I'll just talk to you about my work life. I started at General Motors in St. Catharines, and I was there for 17 years before I was laid off. And they offered me the opportunity to go to Oshawa. But Marilyn and I decided that wasn't the route to go, so I had them buy me out And within the year, I had another job. And I'm working now for the city of Hamilton in water treatment. I've been there for 22 years. The Lord has blessed me and my family. I've never been out of a job. Even within that year that I was transitioning from one job to the next, I was taken on by a brother, a Christian brother, who had a business and who was building homes, Lester Schultz, if some people might know his name. And he gave me a job for that year. And as I said, I was never out of a job. The Lord has blessed me in that respect. Well, we started out in Hamilton, went to Queensdale Gospel Hall, if anybody remembers that way back when. And we slowly moved our way east. And now we are in Font Hill, where we fellowship at Brockview Bible Chapel in St. Catharines. Marilyn is involved in playing the piano, organizing the monthly Ladies' Coffee Hour, which is one of our largest ministries. How many would you say? 80 ladies? 80 ladies coming out once a month, and a lot of them from the community. And she helps out in the children's program. I serve as an elder there at the local assembly, and I'm involved in the children's ministry. This is what I hope for myself, for Marilyn, and for Brockview, and for all of you. Matthew 5 and 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It doesn't say that people may see your good works and see how great you are, because a lot of people do a lot of good things, and the world out there wants to have recognition for what they do. It says, glorify your Father in heaven. So I wish that anything that I do or say will draw attention to the Lord and glorify him. That's what I hope my testimony does, not to glorify me in any way. So that's a little about me. Standing here today, 10 months away from retirement, and looking forward to it. I had another gentleman that retired before me, and he says, "I'm bored." And I think to myself, there's no way that I am going to be bored not working at my job. There's too many things to do for the Lord. Okay, this morning, I want to talk to you about a subject, but first let's just commend this time to the Lord. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity, this freedom to meet, to open your word. And Father, we just pray that it would continue in this country as we see the thoughts and minds of men today. May we never take it for granted that we have this ability today. We pray for our young people, the things that they go through and the things that they will be going through. We thank you that we have camps that can share the gospel with our young people. And Father, so we ask for help this morning as we open your word, and may we receive a blessing from opening it up, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Russia and the Ukraine. A war that continues on, devastation everywhere. Many lives have been lost there. Israel at war with Hamas. Back in October 7th, Saturday, a Sabbath day, the attack began early morning, and about 3,000 rockets, militants, breached the Gaza-Israeli border. Over 1,200 Israelis were killed at that point in time, around 200 taken captive. The world calls for peace. Yet there is no peace. We have wars. We have famines. There are social issues. There is no peace. How can we have peace? Let's open our Bibles and read a verse, John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 27. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There is a difference between the world's peace and God's peace. World's peace, does not last. God is for eternity. Most people in our world don't understand what peace is as a positive concept. All they know is the negative aspect of peace. The negative aspect of peace is the absence of trouble. The positive concept of peace is peace with God, which leads to the peace of God, which leads to peace with others. So let's just confirm that again. The world knows peace as the absence of trouble. But we should know peace as the peace with God, which gives us the peace of God, which allows us to have peace with others. It's all centered around the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing Him. This is the peace we should seek. It reaches the soul. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 18. Just going to read one verse. Isaiah 48 and 18. It says, "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would be like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of a sea." God here was getting ready to free the Israelites from bondage in Babylon. During this time in bondage, they did not have any peace in their lives. And God here was reminding them that the reason they had no peace was because they had chosen to disregard His commands. If they had followed His commands, they would have had God's peace. So, if we follow God's commands, the Scripture says we will have peace like a river. Peace like a river. So let's just look at a few of God's commands, just briefly, just to get an idea of this passage. Here are a couple of commands. The first one is repent. Repent. Acts 3 and 19. Repent then and turn to God, so your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. First command, repent. Second command, be reconciled. Be reconciled. Romans 5 and 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Be reconciled. The third, follow me. Follow me. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The third is, abide in me. John 15, verse 4. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither you can unless you abide in me. I think, or hoping you're getting the gist of where I'm going with all of these and following the progression. Then it says, another command is, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light shine before men. And the final one is rejoice. Rejoice. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, there's just a few commands that you can find in the scripture. And I chose these to represent the Christian life, going from salvation to trusting to following and to rejoicing. All those commands. And if we follow those commands, I think we will have, I know we will have, peace like a river. And so that verse went, oh, that you heed my commands, that your peace would have been like a river. Now, I'm sure most of you would have seen a river flow, and it's certainly not peaceful at times. There are rapids, there are rocks and bends and curves. It's never usually straight. So why would the Lord use the term peace like a river? You would think he would have used something maybe more appropriate, like a pond or a stream or a lake. Why does the Lord use peace like a river? I don't know if ever you've... I've been in Alberta, and I've floated on one of the nice streams, and that's what I think when I think of peace, on a nice stream river in Alberta, and enjoyed it. It was awesome. But the river sometimes looks peaceful, but sometimes they aren't. If you've seen the mighty Fraser River, it's very rough, and whirlpools, and it's hard to navigate a river like that. So for the rest of the time, we want to look at what is the phrase peace like a river? What is peace like a river? A river can be divided into three sections. The source of that river, the journey of that river, and the destination of the river. Let's look at these three sections for a little bit. Water for a river has to originate from somewhere. It must be continuous and constant flowing to sustain a river. Everybody agreed? So, what a source do we have for our river? Peace like a river. What source do we have? Well, let's turn to John. John chapter 4. And we'll begin at verse 5, reading down to maybe 13. John 4, verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat there by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Through conversation with the Samaritan woman, we see Jesus reveal himself as the giver of living water, John 4, 13, and 14. In verse 10, he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Do you know that the Lord Jesus is the water source for the river? You need to put your faith and trust in him first. He is the source for the river of peace. We see the Samaritan woman looking to men to satisfy her soul all those years. We also look to things outside of Christ to give ourselves meaning and purpose. However, as Jesus revealed himself to her, he showed her that he was the never-ending water supply she was thirsty for. John 7 and 38 says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus is the living water that we need and the source of peace. When we put our faith and trust in him as the living water, we can know that the source of the river will never dry up. The scripture says in Ephesians 2 and 14 that he, Christ, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall. Acts 10 and 32 says, "The word of God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ." So in order to have peace like a river, you must consider the source, Jesus. He is the giver of peace, and it continuously flows from him to us. There is a bumper sticker that I saw many years ago, and it says, "No Jesus, no peace." No Jesus, no peace. That's K-N-O-W, K-N-O-W. And then at the other one, it says, "No Jesus, N-O, no peace, N-O." So if Jesus is the source, then we come to the journey. When you look at a river, you typically see calm sections, fast, rough sections, objects getting in the way of the river that change the way the river flows. In our lives, we come across many obstacles in life that attempt to get us down, to attempt to lose our way. Struggles. I'm sure we can say we have had them all, and some having them now. Family problems, medical problems, marriage problems, death. Are you overwhelmed with life right now? Think you can't overcome those obstacles in your life? Well, let's just read Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. It says, When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Jesus' peace is available to you. We travel down this road of life, and sometimes we forget that we have the peace of God in us and with us. We can have peace as we face the many obstacles in our lives. You see, the river simply finds a way to continue on around and over obstacles. It just keeps flowing. So when I think of peace like a river, I think peace, God's peace, as something that we can continually flowing in our lives, despite the circumstances and the obstacles that we are faced with and that get in our path. Peace like a river. The source, Jesus Christ. The living water that gives us eternal life. The journey, peace is with us through all situations. There is no need to be overwhelmed with the journey. Christ will bring you through it. His peace is with you, and it keeps flowing. Just remember, the Lord is with you. Now, we come to look at the destination. The source, the journey, and the destination. Where is this river leading? River usually dumps out into somewhere, a large body of water. It flows into another river. But the river has a destination. So do we have peace like a river? Because that river is headed to where Jesus is, if you know him. Jesus is the source of peace. Let's look at Revelation. Revelation 22. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Revelation 22, 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, crystal as clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The destination. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, you are headed there because that's where Jesus is. He is the source. Peace like a river. His peace we have through everything in life until we reach our final destination with him. I want to read a story behind one of the hymns, It Is Well With My Soul. I don't know if you know the story behind this, but it's from Mr. Spafford, and I believe he really knew the true meaning of peace like a river. Let me just read you his story. Horatio G. Spafford was a successful lawyer and a businessman in Chicago with a lovely family, a wife Anna, and 5 children. However, they were no strangers to tears and tragedy. Their young son died with pneumonia in 1871, and in the same year, much of their business was lost in the Great Chicago Fire. Yet God, in his mercy and kindness, allowed the business to flourish once more. Now, on November 21st, 1873, the French ocean liner Ville d'Arve was crossing the Atlantic from the U.S. to Europe with 313 passengers on board. Among the passengers were Mrs. Spafford and their 4 daughters. Although Mr. Spafford had planned to go with his family, he found it necessary to stay in Chicago to help solve an unexpected business problem. He told his wife he would join her and their family and his children in Europe a few days later. His plan was to take another ship. About 4 days into the crossing of the Atlantic, the Ville d'Arve collided with a powerful iron-hulled Scottish ship, the Loch Earn. Suddenly, all of those on board were in grave danger. Now, you have to excuse me. I always have trouble getting through this, but it's such a tremendous story. Anna hurriedly brought her 4 children to the deck. She knelt there with Annie, Margaret Lee, Bessie, and Tanetta, and prayed that God would spare them, if it could be his will, or to make them willing to endure whatever awaited them. Within approximately 12 minutes, the Ville d'Arve slipped beneath the dark waters of the Atlantic, carrying with it 226 of the passengers, including the 4 Spafford children. A sailor rowing a small boat over the spot where the ship went down spotted a woman floating on a piece of wreckage. It was Anna, still alive. He pulled her onto the boat, and they were picked up by another large vessel, which 9 days later landed them in Cardiff, Wales. From there, she wired her husband a message which began, "Saved alone." What shall I do? Mr. Spafford later framed the telegram and placed it in his office. Another of the ship's survivors, Pastor Weiss, later recalled Anna saying, "God gave me 4 daughters. Excuse me. Now they have been taken from me. Someday I will understand why." Mr. Spafford booked passage on the next available ship and left to join his grieving wife. With the ship about 4 days out, the captain called Spafford to his cabin and told him they were over the place where his children went down. According to Bertha Spafford Vester, a daughter born after the tragedy, Spafford wrote, "It is well with my soul while on his journey. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul." Anna gave birth to three more children, one of which died at the age of four with the dreaded pneumonia. In August 1881, the Spaffords moved to Jerusalem. Mr. Spafford died and is buried in that city. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 7. Whatever his lot, he knew the Lord, and he had the Lord's peace through it all. Peace like a river. Its source is Jesus. The journey, peace, God's peace, sees us through all the difficulties in life. And its destination, ultimately, is where Jesus is. What a blessed hope that we all have. And I pray that's your destination this morning. Let's just, can we sing, I'll close in prayer, and then afterwards, can we sing that song, It Is Well With My Soul, 369, but I'll just close in prayer first. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we have opened your scripture and seen precious, precious truths. Father, we thank you that we have peace. And Father, because we have peace with you, we have your peace. And because we have your peace, we can have peace with others. May the world realize that there is no peace without the Lord Jesus. And Father, we just pray for our nation, that they might realize, our governments might realize, that Jesus needs to be a part of our lives, a part of our governments. The only way we can have this peace with you. So we thank you for your word and what it tells us. And may we ever remember, when we are going through troubled waters, that we have the peace of God with us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.